This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Live from a Zoom call. Emanating from Lando Lakes, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Sioux City, Iowa, and somewhere in the general Canada region, it's the new day. Feel the power. Take it away, fellas.
Good God, Dan.
It's so aggressive.
He's great.
And
it's like
he's back.
Nails on a chalkboard, but there's a sixth finger on the hand to just give it even more of that nasty.
When does his internship end?
Ladies and gentlemen, so we can get to the voice that you heard, I am Xavier Woods.
And I am Kofi Kingston.
And I am Big E, and I'm sure they want me to get to it pretty quickly so we can announce, you know, we're going to be talking to you for this next hour and change. But I do have a story to tell, and I won't be stopped, you know. My name is Big E, but I used to be known as Big E Langston, you know, a name that you could respect, a name that was salutable, a name with some real gusto, you know. Now I'm just Big E, a shell of my former self. I lost a lot of weight because I didn't really feel like I had the weight to, you know, I'm not Big E Langston anymore. That's a name of a girthy man, I think. I'm a respectable man, a stout man. I'm not stout anymore. So I figure I don't need the weight really anymore. So I'm down to about 250 pounds. Don't let them lie to you. They bill me at whatever they want to bill me at. They don't really care about my life and what's actually going on with me. So yes. Anyways, that's me. That's enough. That's enough.
All right. And our guest. Woo! For the first time on the show, a man who, a man of many talents, but a guy who I think is probably one of the funniest people to ever be affiliated with the WWE. Ladies and gentlemen, we have RJ City.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on. Big E really is the one who invited me.
I did.
Because I tweeted the question at Kofi. I was a big fan of Ask Kofi. Oh, I'm always like, oh, what's his answer going to be? Very exciting.
Let it die. Let it die, please.
And then you asked me, and I'm not one to really turn down an invitation. So I accepted it, and lo and behold, here I am. I will say, Woods, I have that shirt you're wearing. In a tank top. I cut the sleeves off. I was going to wear it, and then I thought maybe it would be a little hacky.
Oh,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No.
Maybe it would have been a little much.
Not at all.
And then there you are.
Well, and for people who are just listening to this and can't see the shirt, would you please?
Oh, I'm sorry. It says squad. It's perhaps a periwinkle blue. It says squad on top. And then there's like four columns of the Golden Girls, which is, you know, probably not a surprise to anyone.
For those of you who don't know RJ, he... I would say
let's start at the beginning. Do you remember where you met me?
In Canada.
At?
A wrestling show?
Kind of. At an anime convention.
Anime North.
Yes, which housed a wrestling show.
Yes.
And you just came for kicks. You had nothing to do with the... Yeah. That's where I wrestled Elmo.
Yes.
A giant Elmo mascot. And if you've ever seen the meme, because it pops up every couple months.
I have.
Of Elmo giving a rock bottom to somebody. I'm the one he's giving a rock bottom to.
Was that in, because we had a six man, I think, with like me, our good friend Hornet, who's a referee down in NXT.
Yes.
And you and Elmo was in it. And he gave somebody a Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, this was a real, like, Elmo-heavy show. He was, like, the big name. People came to see him.
The draw.
You know?
What year was this?
2010?
Maybe.
Maybe nine.
Yeah, 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had a rollicking good time.
It was great. And when everybody told me this, said, oh, you know, you're going to love this guy. He's hilarious. And I met him. Again, one of the most like hysterical people that I think I've ever met. But when I found out that you were on a children's television show as well, it kind of brought everything together and it made a lot more sense.
Yes. Yes. So I was on a program called, oh yeah, that's, we do have that in common. We were all on Nickelodeon.
Oh,
yeah. Look at us.
I guess we have the common thread.
You were on a much more famous show that they're still airing. Nevertheless, the resumes read the same. Yeah. I was on a show called Splat-A-Lot, which was like a Wipeout, but for kids. And each defender of the castle had a character. And I was a handsome Viking known as Gildor. So I would shoot like paintballs at kids and insult them. And that was pretty much the show. And it was on BBC. And it was on YTV in Canada. And then Nickelodeon picked it up. And we thought, what ho, you know, we've struck oil. Here we go. And they burned through it in a summer and never mentioned it again.
But you were there.
It I was counts. There. It's still in syndication. We aired between a retro All That and a retro Figure It Out. So I was a real Lori Beth Denberg sandwich.
So was that your first love, like trying to be in front of the camera, you know, be on screen, be a performer?
Compared to what? Wrestling, you're saying?
Yeah.
I would answer by saying, isn't it all the same thing?
Fair.
Fair. I always thought, to me, it was wrestling and the Muppet Show when I was a kid. And they are, in my opinion, the exact same thing.
Please
it's
explain.
A show. It's a show about a show. Everyone has their own character, their own kind of acts. You know, Gonzo is going to do a certain kind of thing. Fozzie is going to do a certain kind of thing. And there's always the assumption that nothing will go according to plan. In both shows, you watch Monday Night Raw, like not one thing that they say is going to happen will happen peacefully or without incident. It's always implied that there will be an incident. And of course, I mean, when they had the guest hosts, it really became the same thing to me. So I don't see any difference in our worlds. And I want everyone to join hands so I can bring them all together. That is my goal.
So when you saw the Muppets on Raw, did that bring up any emotions? Or like, do you feel vindicated?
I felt a seething jealousy. I felt like this was mine. I've been calling this all along. What the hell? I think they should have had, you know, old Muppet Show host Raw. I think they should have had like Madeline Kahn and perhaps a Paul Williams or a Peter Sellers. I think they would have done really well backstage. Right.
I'm sure the crowds in Austin and in Miami would have just blown the roof off.
It's Paul Williams Town. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you always have all of these, I'll say older references.
Yes. I'm like a 66-year-old.
Yeah. Have you always been like this, or is this something that kind of developed over time?
I've always been like this. I was very much, I think, a sociological experiment with my grandmother and my mother. They would be like, watch this Abbott and Costello movie. And I, being a kid, would be like, this is fantastic. And then I would go to school and be like, hey, did you guys see Abbott and Costello? They met him. This is, oh my God. Are you guys fans of Laurel and Hardy? And then, you know, everyone is not interested. But I talked to the teachers. I got along with the teachers. And I think that was the important thing.
This is how you've gotten through life, is just always talking to the oldest person in the room?
Yeah, pretty much. I would be at birthday parties, the kids would be playing, and then like I would be entertaining the parents. It was a weird sad, like a child performer. It sounds like an old vaudeville kind of life. But like that's what I did. And that's I'm very much like me as a child is just this smaller. Nothing has really changed.
Good for you.
Thank you. Why evolve is what I say.
They say don't ever change, right? You know,
I mean, sometimes it would behoove me to change a little bit.
Well, Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Do you remember the next time we encountered each other?
Was it the tryout?
It was the tryout.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite stories.
Now, listen, I have an issue with the way you tell this story because you botch the punchline all the time.
Okay, we'll fix it.
And it's my work. It's like doodling on a Monet. You know what I'm saying? So you please do the setup. I'm happy with the setup, and then I'll take the punchline.
Okay. So when you're doing a tryout with developmental and WWE, they got a bunch of people in there. You do push-ups, you do drills, you do a bunch of stuff. But then at some point, everybody does a promo. And a lot of the time, you're just crazy nervous. You got butterflies in your stomach and you create something that's like, I'm going to come to WWE and I'm going to win all the matches and I'm going to be champion because I believe in myself. And it's like, it's fine, but it's all the kind of same vibe. And so finally it's RJ's turn to go and I'm just going to let you tell it from there.
First of all, I wasn't too crazy about that setup either.
See? That's why I didn't want to do it. I tried to get out as soon as possible. I tried to get out.
Please give us your full version.
Yeah. A little bit of context. Yes. It was maybe 8 or 9-ish years ago. My understanding, it was one of the first of the modern tryouts that we know today. But it happened before there were cameras and shirts, and I didn't get a shirt. I'm a little upset about it. It was me, Sasha Banks, Sami Zayn, Elias, Coach Sarah was there, a variety of different people all before. And then I was this weird person who, I don't know, maybe somebody saw an episode of Splat a Lot and they said, hey, maybe we need a Viking. Who knows? So we're there. This is, you are there, Woods. You are incredibly sweet and supportive. And your role at this time was to film the promos on promo day. You were up high. And it was hilarious. So I'm kind of laying low. You know, you do your drills. You're nice. You don't want to sing Ethel Merman out of turn, only when asked. So I'm laying low. Everything's fine. Promo day. Everyone's promos are, I wouldn't even call them promos very much. This is my life story, which is great if you have a life story. I happen to have really no life story, just these stupid things that I do. So I said, well, this is my moment. Let's have a nice time. And the first thing I did was cut a promo about how I tore my cuticle the week before and I almost canceled this whole tryout because I was in so much pain. That was the first thing I did. And then they said, can you do anything else maybe from your TV show? And I said, well, I do improv on the TV show so I could improvise. And they said, okay. So I'm improvising. I said, cameraman, could you follow me down? And I sat on the ring apron and you did a nice, I'm sure the footage is somewhere. You did a nice pan down. And as I was talking, I looked over and there was a long table. It was like an extreme American Idol. And one of the people there was Perry Satter. And, you know, I'm sure he did not enjoy Ethel Merman. I'm just hazarding a guess. Very serious, has the tattoo, pencil and whatever. And I looked over him and I said, excuse me, Perry, can I see the back of your hands a moment? And he went, showed me the back of his hands. And I said, ah, I just wanted to see the rings of Saturn. Uh-huh. And just the air became so heavy. I created such a weight in the room, and a couple people got it and enjoyed it, and a couple I think was mainly confusion. And then I turned to the head trainer at the time and I sang him the theme from Mary Tyler Moore, and that was my that was my big finale. That was my shot. I'm not quite sure what happened. And then right after that, I went to do the second season of Splat a Lot, which is very bizarre. And I was on set and they called me and they said, listen, that was certainly something. but generally speaking, they said, we have nothing for you to do that would keep you here in light of everything else that you're doing. And I was, you know, very confused at the time and hurt because you think you're going one way and everything's going well. And I said, you know what? Fine. And I said to myself, I'm going to continue to do what I enjoy doing and see where it leads me. And the next time I contact these people, you know, I will make sure they contact me because I'm doing something so weird that they either like it or it bothers them and they have to contact me. That was my general goal. And then I believe that night or the next night, we were at an FCW taping. And that's the first time I saw this E fella. And may I compliment him, because this is your own program. I immediately noticed, I saw like, well, this is like the next guy to me. Now, was my prediction correct in the short term? No. But I think after a long enough time, you were so energetic. It reminded me of, they always say magicians, the best magicians can do close-up magic. Like in the Magic Castle in LA, they have a small room where it's close-up magic. And that FCW arena was not really conducive to excitement. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Madison Square Garden. You had to bring your own. And you did. And I went, that was fantastic. So I remember that about you. And then I have zero experiences with Kofi.
I was going to say, yeah. We don't, our paths have like never crossed. And you know what? So I'll tell you this, man. Like over the years, I've heard your name thrown around in several different conversations. And so many people have like told me to like go check out your stuff, you know, RJ City. I'm just like, oh, okay, cause you know, I'm a jerk, you know, like I'm not gonna listen to it, you know. But I will say, the other day I went to your Instagram page, and I spent about an hour just going down all the clips and the posts that you had, bro. I think you might be like my favorite ever, dude. Like your comedy, man. Like, and just like, I don't know, man. I was trying to figure out a way to like describe what it is that you do. And I can't even describe it. Just, it's just awesome, man. You are incredibly talented, man. Like, I don't know. I love it, man. Like, especially like your dramatic readings.
Like, I do dramatic readings of theme songs from sitcoms. Yeah.
So you had one with like the nanny, and I don't know, dude, like just your delivery. It is, you are so hilarious to me. And I don't know what the hell I was doing all these years, not checking out your material, because I missed out on a lot of laughs and I got a lot of catching up to do. But yeah, man, I think you are incredibly hilarious.
I am so touched, not only because that's a very sweet thing to say, but also, you followed me like yesterday.
Yes.
I had just finished at the gym. I was in the bathroom. I saw it and I got immediate anxiety because I was about to post a gym thirst trap. And I just had this nightmare of Kofi just looking at it. Like he was now the only person ever followed me on Instagram. And I was like, what? And you know, some people like Ronda Rousey follows me, but I know she instantly muted me. That's okay. That doesn't bother me. Whatever. It's totally fine. But I feel like that was a genuine follow. And then I had just horrible, terrible anxiety. So I'm happy that you went down far enough past the thirst traps.
Bro, I was literally belly laughing in the locker room. We had like a little room off on our own. And I'm just laughing. The only person in the room just laughing out loud, man. I'm so entertained, dude.
And you didn't show it to anyone else. You said, I'm going to keep this to myself and everyone can be quiet.
Yes, pretty much. I did. I was too lazy to get up and leave the room, to be honest. If I'm being honest. But
yeah, I got to interject here too, because you said such nice things about me and I feel like an ass without at least saying thank you. Enough time has left. So I'm just sitting here with this weight of guilt sitting on
this
me.
Is like, no. You brought me on the show. This is like inviting me to your house and I brought a quiche. You know what I mean? You don't have to give me back a gift and then we go back and forth all night. Just enjoy the quiche.
Well, I will. I do love quiche. Another thought. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. I often tend to think anything I did the first 4 to 5 years of my career was awful anyway. So that was very kind of you.
I didn't say you were good. I just said you were exciting.
That's fair. Thanks, I guess.
You're very welcome.
I will say with the tryout, I feel like, and maybe this is just me, but at least maybe I'm trying to, I think wrestling is more acceptably weird now, at least in WWE, and more visible wrestling than I think it was a decade ago. So I think you were either before your time or you were in between times. Like maybe you should have been earlier or later.
I'm always described as like before and after my time.
Yes. Right?
Because like maybe 70s Memphis I would have fit into. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, this right. is a weirdness. Sure. But yet I feel like the company has also expanded so much since then. Like when you expand your content, you have to change it a little. Can't be all the same. And I feel like it expanded enough that it somehow, to my befuddlement, began including me.
What was your first gig with the company after the trial?
Oh, a gig. So years and years and years later, I teamed with David Arquette, as you may or may not be aware. And you of course saw me one time. Mm-hmm. May I say, do you remember who you sat next to?
Pee Wee Herman.
Yes. Our dear friend, Paul Rubens.
Yes.
So just general, you know, weird people find weird people. And so me and David were doing stuff. And then his documentary was going to hit at South by Southwest. And we were going to wrestle there. I was desperately trying to get beat up by Patricia or Rosanna Arquette. That was my dream. I thought it would have been good press. And then the pandemic hit, that thing. I don't know if you're aware, if you've picked up a newspaper, but South by Southwest was like one of the first things to get canceled. The documentary now, you know, has to totally change and shift and whatever. So I thought, okay, I'm here. We're not wrestling. That's never deterred me before. I'm just going to make a bunch of videos. And then Matt Camp from The Bump contacted me wanting to get a hold of David because they wanted him for an interview or whatever. So I said, David, here, I hooked them up. And David's like, okay, you're going to do the interview too, right? I'm like, no, like they did not ask for me. They want you, like, go do it. It's like, okay. The interview comes. He keeps sending me the Zoom link. And he's saying, come on, just, and like, I'm not going to show up uninvited. Like, that's a terrible, terrible thing to do. So I'm like, David, absolutely not. And he's like, no, we are tag team partners. We do this together. Finally, his wife messaged me. And she's obviously like the adult in the relationship. So I'm like, okay, I'm listening to her. I click on it. And I, unbeknownst to me and everyone else, walk into this. They did this video early on where they tried to see how many superstars and celebrities they could get on one Zoom call. Okay. So I show up and I see this Hollywood Squares-ish wall of like Maria Menounos, Titus O'Neil, Dolph, Rey Mysterio. And I was like, I do not belong here. So I immediately start apologizing, which I think is the right thing to do. I'm blaming David. And then we go into our shtick, which is not a shtick. It's him being an idiot. And he's bringing out progressively bigger cowboy hats. And we talk for a couple minutes. And then, you know, I excuse myself because I shouldn't be there. So let's leave early. And I thought, gee, that was funny. They're going to completely edit it out. And then the video came out and they left me in. And people said that David smuggled me on, which is quite true. And then I thought, well, that was hilarious and weird. And, you know, I'm a kind of person who appears to be a celebrity, but then when you ask and you see the resume, you're like, not really. So I was like, whatever. And then out of the blue in the beginning of the summer, like last summer, they contacted me and they're like, hey, do you want to do SummerSlam watch along? And my response was, do you know who I am? Like, I just wanted to clarify. And it's one of those weird things where you're like, I'm very nervous. I don't know what to do. And then I turn on the screen and it's me, Matt Camp and Woods and Bivens. And I'm like, oh yeah, I already know everybody here. So that was just like, okay. And then I started doing those. And then we started doing stuff on The Bump. And they've been, you know, delightful, sweet people, Kayla and Evan and Ryan and Matt and the whole crew. We did that. Do you remember the mock draft we did, Woods? No, really? We did a mock. It was like a 60-minute episode. It was a mock draft. And I suggested.
Oh, we did teams. Yeah.
Yes. And yeah. My codes, I used old celebrity names as codes for who I wanted to pick.
Refused to stop using them.
Yeah.
For the entire hour. Yeah. And I was like, references pick, that no one watching understands.
We pick Ed Asner and Kayla would be like, what, like, why? Why is this person here? It's so and crazy. Then we kept doing the watch alongs and other Bump stuff. And then we had a bunch of different ideas, a big thing on the table they wanted to do. I worked on it with Dan. And so Dan knows my anxiety and my ideas very well. And then they were like, don't worry, we'll do something. We will get you something. Don't worry about it. And then came WrestleMania After Dark.
One of the best, if not the best thing WWE has ever produced since its inception. It is hysterical. Bravissimo.
Thank you. We did it. They greenlit it like 2 weeks before, and I was panicking. I was just writing a bunch of ideas. And I will say, Big E's name came up a bunch of times, and he was on the potential list of people that we wanted. They wanted you to originally see if you could officiate a wedding between fans. That was an idea. And then, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a part in it where I introduced the Honky Tonk Man, but it's Kevin Owens. And I only have questions for the Honky Tonk Man. So we go through that interview. And originally, in my head, it was Big E, and I only had questions for Tito Santana. That was just like my first instinct. I was like, gee, that would be funny. And then we tried to break it down. And I was like, no, maybe that doesn't, you're too go with the flow. You're too enjoy. I feel like you would enjoy being Tito Santana. And I'm like, that doesn't work.
Right.
So then they had something else for you. And then they ended up cutting it. And then I ended up with that. And then Woods was going to be on it. And once again, I had zero relationship with Kofi at all.
Nothing.
I'm sorry. I mean, you guys had a fake product, which I think you should.
Yeah.
The new bidet.
The new bidet.
Yeah. Feel the porcelain power.
Yeah.
I believe you're not being booty. Everything worked out so nicely there.
It was great.
I think you slap your logo. You've slapped your logo at enough things. I don't think a bidet is that out of reach
at all.
We push it. Let's be honest. We
did it?
Push
it.
Hey.
Yeah. You're encouraging good hygiene. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So just to bring people into the mindset, I just want to come back a few years. So you brought up David Arquette. So clearly you had experience wrestling on the independent scene, bouncing around the States a little bit, bouncing around Canada a little bit. So you did that for X number of years, yes?
Yes, X.
I was going to say a number, but then I was like, I'm not sure of the number.
I mean, 10, at least 10.
As today?
Sure, I don't keep a date book. Most of these matches I want to forget.
So you're doing that. You're all over social media, pumping out content constantly, and you end up running into David Arquette. And how does this relationship?
There was a writer that he used to work with named Ben Joseph. He went to wrestling shows in Toronto, Ben Joseph, and he saw me, and he is a fan of mine. And then David was sniffing around getting into wrestling again because, it went so well the first time. So Ben said to David, if you want to get back and figure stuff out, you really should talk to this guy. David followed me on Twitter. Like most weird things in my life, Twitter is usually the place where they happen. He started just jumping on all of my tweets. His family has been in show business forever. His father, his grandfather, his great-grandparents. And may I say this? And I think this is a good tidbit. His father did a voice on Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. And his grandfather used to be on Hollywood Squares. He was a famous old comedian. And there's a 1974 episode where the contestant is Nick Bockwinkel. For those of you keeping score at home, that was the first Nick Bockwinkel reference. Anyway, we started going back and forth on Twitter, and I called him out, not really knowing him, and we started this fake online feud before I even knew he wanted to do a documentary, and his sister got involved, and it was a whole thing. And then I met him at WrestleMania in New Orleans. That's the first time we met, and we had coffee in our underwear, which perhaps needs another explanation. I sometimes do a show on YouTube every Sunday morning. I make coffee in my underwear. He was my guest. And then we hit it off. And originally I was just going to help him with his character and whatever. And then I took enough shots at him on Twitter because he's such a genuine person that it's such a joy to be horrible to him that he said I want to wrestle you first. Let's do this. So we did. And I hit him, I kneed him right in the face. And he almost got cut out of a Duplass Brothers movie because his face was swollen. So I still have that guilt.
So I feel like you just constantly find yourself in these hilarious predicaments and situations. And I don't know, I feel like they always like work out perfectly and something hilarious happens that is completely in line with you and your personality and how I feel like just everything just works for you.
I think so, in a weird way. Like, I really go out not having a plan, saying I'm just going to do what I want to do and put it out there and let go of it. And David is an example where we enjoyed doing that. And we thought, gee, it would be great. He was injured from wrestling, not from that match, from something else. He had fractured ribs. And he said, can we team together so I don't get hurt? He said, you're the only person when I wrestle with you, I don't get hurt. And I said, well, that's probably a good idea to keep me around. So we had an idea of doing tag team partners who hate each other. Can they coexist? I don't know if you're familiar with that term. And our idea was that I was basically Charles Grodin and he was Martin Short in Clifford. If any of you have haven't seen it. So,
like so long ago. That's such thank you for the Clifford reference. Yes.
And it was great. I enjoyed being so mean to him and preventing him from doing stuff. That was very, very, very enjoyable. And yeah, we did weird stuff like Steve Austin's show. We did, and we brought him a cherry pie. And he was very confused. Similar to the way I paid a compliment to you. He invited us into his place and bring him a nice cherry pie. And he was very like, oh, what do I do with this now? And then I gave him one of my pins. And then he said, and you can hear it on his podcast, he says, I'm going to give you guys a hat, one of my hats. I said, well, that's great. And then the episode ends, no hat.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm not afraid. Wow. The guy said he was going to give me a hat.
Be a man of your word.
I'm not speaking out of turn here.
Be a man of your word.
Yeah. Yeah. And while we're calling out, I have a grievance with Woods, by the way.
Good.
Yeah, I do. Told me months ago, you'll do Battle of the Brands. You'll do a fun thing. We'll have you in there. I said, okay. And you know what I said? I said, great. Only if my character only has weak grapples. Like, I want all the worst moves. And you said, what? We'll do it. And I said, this will be fun. I will cut the promos of my life. Years from now, people will go back and say, well, what were the best promos in wrestling? And they'll have to dig up episodes of Battle of the Brands. That's how jazzed up I was. And then it's like I'm looking for Steve Austin's hat all over again. I go, what happened? And if you don't want me in, if something happened, fine. Why would you be so emphatically inviting? Wow. Mm. Mm. You know?
The show's not done yet. We have months and months to go. And this is the thing. If you constantly bring in guys like yourself and put them all in at the same time, it's too much. The kids can't eat the whole cake at the same time. They'll get sick. You're bringing in piece by piece. I want you to have your own spotlight.
Right. Mm. I see. So creative has nothing for me, in other words.
you couldn't.
Not yet.
Give them.
Right. Okay. I'll throw out some ideas. Maybe I'll grow a mustache or something.
Yeah, yeah. If you could dye your hair and gain 80 pounds.
Thank you. I'll do my best.
No, cut your hair and lose 80 pounds.
So I ask everybody who I think is going to be involved in it, because we have to shuffle people in and out constantly. And so there's like a group of people that I know will work a certain way together. And then I know once I introduce person A,
wouldn't it have been nice if he clarified this at the beginning of inviting me?
Oh, completely. He's definitely backpedaling.
Open dialogue. How long has it been? Right? How long did
months,
you say?
Months and months and months. Just communicate is all I'm asking.
Wow.
You know, here I am jazzed up writing in my little promo book about video games and things.
Golly.
Yeah.
I'm upset with myself that I've hurt your feelings. That was not my intention, RJ.
Well, you know what? I'm happy with myself that I wait till we're on air before I express my grievances.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about that route.
That's my style.
That I've chosen. Also, I did have something for you at WrestleMania After Dark, but you were unable to do it. The scheduling didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But I had a King of the Ring quiz for you.
Ooh.
Can we do it now?
I don't have it.
I feel like...
What?
I was going to say, I feel like you wouldn't have brought it up if you don't have access to it.
Ah,
my memory for it is so bad.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, the intro is, my next guest just can't wait to be king, but unfortunately is not Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Please welcome Xavier Woods. We do a little back and forth, blah, 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 blah. My first question is, why not just win the Royal Rumble? It's royal, so you can technically win it and call yourself king. This is not a trivia question. King of the Ring questions. In 1985, this is an easy one, who won the first King of the Ring tournament?
Harley Race.
Jeez, wrong. Don Morocco.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're
the
right.
Original
Didn't Harley
Rock.
Race won the first televised one, yeah?
Come on. Come on, yeah. I would rather see, you know, Don Morocco in Jungle Cruise, to be honest with you. But that's just me. Who is the only person to win King of the Ring and then lose in the finals the following year? I mean, you can all answer. It's open. Dan, anyone?
Let the king answer. let the king do it.
Also, I forgot Jonathan Taylor Thomas was the voice of Simba.
Simba, yeah.
Yeah.
I completely forgot. Great. He just breezed by it. Just beautifully done.
Yes.
Just beautifully done.
I'm going to say I don't remember who was always in the finals.
It was Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. Okay. Yeah.
Which two King of the Ring winners have also competed in an MMA?
Oh, well, Kurt Angle, obviously. That's one.
No, because he's not. It's not MMA.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Okay. No. Okay. Fair.
He just wore gloves one time. I don't think it counts.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. This is. I mean, I'm sure this will be. The silence will be edited down at some point.
Oh no!
Oh, not. No. Every shot that can be taken at me is taken on this podcast.
We might actually extend the silence just to make it more.
Yeah. He's going to cut it so it's legit silence. Can you get some room tone? Put that in there.
Are you done? Do you give up? You can't pick one.
Give up.
First one is Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock.
Is a given. And the second one is Brock Lesnar. I think also kind of a given.
He was the King of the Ring?
He was Brock King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back in the trophy years.
I always forget like the more recent ones. I always forget that they even.
Right. So this is the second last question. From 1985 to 2002, there were 2 years with no King of the Ring tournament. Name one of those years.
No, I can't. I can't give you a number.
Just okay, one of them? You couldn't name one of those years?
No. I can't give you a year for anything.
You just can't pick one year between 1985 and 2002.
99.
No. Ooh. So sorry. 1990 and 1992.
92.
Ooh.
Those are the years with no King of the Ring. And finally, in 1204, John, King of England, lost the land of Normandy to whom?
1204?
Yeah.
To Henry.
So sorry. We were looking for King Philip II of France. We would have also accepted Philip Augustus. Sorry. You lose Henry King of the Ring for you.
Yeah.
And my genius punchline, which now I can't use, I blowed it on the show, was that I would keep asking every guest that question.
You could keep it because even if I knew that, I'd still watch it.
Yeah, I think so. I think you want to hear other people answer that question.
Yeah.
I think you want to hear, I don't know, Paul Roma or Tugboat.
Somebody will answer it.
Someone will answer it. Bob Backlund, perhaps.
Bob Backlund and I have the same birthday.
Oh, really?
How about that? Yeah.
And do you ask anyone to name the presidents before signing an autograph?
Not yet. I'm saving it. You know, now that I'm 40, maybe, you know, it's an older generational thing. Maybe it fits more. So I might.
Isn't it fascinating how older wrestlers looked then?
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at you and you're 40. And I'm like, you don't look 40.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Thank you.
I'm just talking about the general life expectancy, not you specifically. You know?
Well, we did get him. We got him some gifts for his birthday.
You did.
You got Bob Backlund gifts?
No, we got Bob Backlund Kofi for his birthday.
Yeah. I'm now Kofi Backlund.
Yes. Jumped out of the cake.
And I'm Kofi Backlund. It was great. It was awesome. It was really fun. It was cool. They got me I posted it on social media. They got me a bunch of gag gifts to repeatedly remind me how old I am. And it was like legit 5 bags, gift bags. and I would pull out one thing, and it's a pecker erector. You know what I'm saying? Then I'd pull out another thing. It's Epsom salt and a foot bath. I'm like, oh, okay. And then another thing is like, oh, you're old. This, it took me 40 years to look this good, teacher. It was legit, like, not just never ending old gimmicks and trinkets. It was pretty fantastic. Put a smile on my face. We took a picture of it. It was great. My favorite piece was the sash that said, I ain't dead yet. You can fill those fill the letters in, you know? Yeah, it was awesome. And what I forgot to take a picture of was the 12 cinnamon rolls from Cinnaholic. Mini cinnamon rolls with icing on the top. Cinnaholic is my favorite. It's a vegan bakery that bakes all types of custom-made cinnamon rolls. It is amazing. And I ate probably half of those and then decided to give the rest to the locker room against my will. They asked for it, and I graciously granted them their desire, but
it's like pulling out a pack of gum in a group of people. You can't do it unless,
You know. But I didn't pull out. I didn't pull it out. It was given to me, and then everyone, oh, can I have one? Oh, can I taste one? It's my birthday, not yours. Okay, sure, have one. You can have it. It's cool. But no, it was great. It was great. It was a fun day.
So how you went there, RJ? The invite.
It's okay. I mean, I showed up early for this one. I was raring to go.
Kofi, not so much. Kofi was.
No, I was. You know me. I don't hardly run on time.
I don't know you at all. I'm learning this now.
Now you
and the
know.
Next time I invite you to something, I will not rush to it.
Don't expect me to be on time. Things always happen. Yeah.
Since you and Kofi don't have any type of bond, you know, you guys are interacting here for the first time. I was wondering, since he's such a fan of your dramatic readings, is there any way that you would do a dramatic reading of his old theme music?
Bro.
SOS.
let me pull it up.
It's so funny because I was going to request this. This is even better. But I was going to request you to do a dramatic reading, either like of our theme music or just something.
Yeah,
you know? But SOS will be great.
Have you seen all the lyrics together? This is quite a novel. I won't do any accent because I do not want to get canceled.
Kylie Budge is not black, though. I think
no, he's from Bermuda. He's white from Bermuda.
Yeah, so I think it's fine.
No, it's cool. I'm not from Bermuda. Yeah. I'm like from the opposite of Bermuda. You know what I mean? Like north, south, it would be Bermuda and 1966, basically where I'm from. Okay, you ready?
I am.
Okay. You know, SOS, I hear them calling. SOS, I hear them shouting. SOS, I hear them crying. SOS, I hear them calling. You woke up in a bad man place. You know, safe. You could run for days. You can't get away. I bring relief for sorrow and pain. You should have never tried get in my face. And it's a shame. Oh, what a shame. You lose your life. You have no more time. Your destiny, me, is mine. Hear them calling. SOS. I hear them calling. SOS. I hear them shouting. SOS. I hear them crying. SOS. I hear them calling. You know what me say, boo. Hey, mister, I've been telling you to be afraid because this bad man, him have bad news for you today. And it's a shame. What a shame. You lose your life. You have no more time. Your destiny, me, is mine. Hear them calling. SOS, I hear them calling. SOS, I hear them shouting. SOS, I hear them crying. SOS, I hear them calling. You know, you woke up in a bad man place. You know, safe. You could run for days. You can't get relief. I bring relief for sorrow and pain. You should have never tried. Get in my fence. SOS.
Oh, SOS. God.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. I think you guys should start doing like coffee house wrestling, where it's just put a rug down, you know, in a small car and just do some chain wrestling. And I think that should be your entrance.
Coffee shop wrestling.
Oh my God.
I feel like you might be able to help us with something. So we got this idea.
Betty White was a scumbag. Go ahead.
Whoa! Sir. Fighting sir. First off, we don't speak about her in the past tense. We don't do that.
And she was one, and that's part of the issue. I don't know what she's like now, but.
You know what? I'm not gonna do this with you right now. We only have a certain amount of time. And the slander, this is disgusting, first off. But moving on. You forgot. I mean,
okay. You have notes?
No, we just kind of do things.
Doing? Oh, what were you saying? Okay.
So we have a TV show idea that we think is incredible. And I feel like you might have something in your mind to make it even better than what it is.
Yes.
You mind if I pitch it to you?
Go ahead.
So it'll be the three of us, and we will go around the country marrying wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
So he's ordained, do the whole deal, but...
Rings and rings.
My God. My God.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all right, Mr. Austin. Don't give me a hat. It's all right, guys. No SummerSlam after dark. Cool. Go ahead. No Battle of the Brands for me. Keep talking.
So part of it, as we do marry them, but we also show them how to do a wrestling match.
Yes.
And so somebody says, you know, or forever hold your peace. And somebody stands up. I object. Chair comes into play. Boom. The groomsmen and the bridesmaids break out into a wrestling match. And that's the show, traveling and doing that.
Yes.
And I was going to see if you had anything, but rings and rings.
That's more than enough. I've actually been asked before to be a bad guy plant at someone's wedding and cut off the groom or cut off the best man and start deriding him, cut a promo on him and then have the groom beat me up. I've been asked on more than one occasion, and then other family members will talk down that idea. Yeah. It is very inappropriate. I do have two friends. Think about this. This is a trend. I have two friends named Sarah and Marty, and when they get married, they're planning on not having a match themselves, hosting a match where it's two wrestlers representing them fighting against sickness and health. It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
It's something to think about. It's not a bad idea at all. I think wrestling fans are very eclectic. And when they love hard. So I think you'll get good relationship stories out of that.
All right, perfect.
You want to be our showrunner?
Oh my God. I would love to. You know what I would also love to be, now that I'm thinking about it? I feel like you guys are the Three Stooges, and I'm like the straight man adult who sets the plot in motion every movie. And I'm like, boys, take care of my house while I'm gone. That one guy is like, why are you entrusting these people? They're not going to do anything correctly. I would be happy to. Also, can I share? By the way, I sent them. WWE has like 20 of my pictures. May I share some of them with you?
Please. Oh, yeah.
Because someone will pick them up. Maybe Vern Gagne will say, come to Minnesota and we'll do them. This is your career. And it is a game show where, for example, I'm the host, Big E is the contestant, and all the trivia questions are about his own life and career.
I love it.
How much do you know? And we bring people back from the past that you don't remember. You know, you had a dark match in New Mexico, and we bring that guy back, you know? Like I did this Wednesday morning wake-up thing on The Bump. I don't know if you cats have seen it. I did these little interviews with weird... No, I'll send you a bunch of links, E. And the first one is me and Shane Helms. And I said, of course, we're coming up on a big anniversary, August 8th. I'm sure you remember. You'll never forget it. And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, that is the SmackDown where you defeated Tatanka.
That was the big anniversary.
Yeah, he had no record. And then he went, oh, yeah, now I remember it. And it just passed, and I wished him happy anniversary. And it now means something to him.
That's beautiful. No, I think this concept is great, especially people like me. Between the three of us, actually, our memories are abysmal.
Garbage.
We remember the big, like, tent pole stuff, like the Usos, Hell in a Cell, stuff that we talk about time and time again. But beyond that, we don't remember much from our careers. So I very much like this idea.
I think it's good. And you learn about your own careers. You know, I wanted to see if the Undertaker could put all his hats in chronological order.
Oh, even doing that with gear. Like doing that with our gear would be difficult.
Cool. Yeah.
See? It almost sounds like a good idea for a show.
Great idea.
Said almost.
Who knew? Who knew?
What's next?
Followed by Rings and Rings.
Rings and Rings.
You have other ideas, though. You said you have 20?
I have a couple for Up, Up, Down, Down.
I know you're doing a lot of stuff with the BRE as well.
BRE? I was like an alternate. I was like the Shemp of the BRE.
And for those of you who are not familiar with Up, Up, Down, Down stuff, so the BRE is the best roommates ever. Jessamyn Duke, Mia Yim. Then we got Shayna
Dana Baszler,
and Dakota Kai. And that's their clique, their group. And RJ plays games with them from time to time.
From time to time. We played one, and then you and I did a joke box.
Mm-hmm.
And my jokes were so dirty that they had to blur out clean words. Like, really, guys? I thought it was clever. That's fine. I wanted to do like a live, like a WWE version of like a Jackbox where fans can play on their phones and answer live. I think that would be fun. I do want to do like, because I feel like every wrestler has one thing that they're very nerdy about. At least one thing. And I want to bring them on, and it would be a trivia show where I would grill them on that one thing. You know?
Yeah.
That kind of hip happening. I also want to do an AWA watch along podcast. That's really my dream, because that's a messed up show. Incredibly weird.
Is it on Peacock?
Oh, it's on Peacock. It's yes, on, it is. Oh, another idea. This was a decent one. I sit down with guys like Brett and Kevin Nash and go through their IMDb.
Oh.
I'm sure they've done a lot of obscure stuff. They barely remember.
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin Nash. I want to talk about Lonesome Dove. That's me. That's the kind of guy I am.
And the thing is, like, stuff like that becomes interesting because it's stuff that they never really get asked about. So it's probably... there's probably so much to say that they've never, quote unquote, had the chance to say before.
Yes. Yes. And there's stories and you make weird connections. I used to do this YouTube series where I would watch wrestling episodes of sitcoms. Mm. And so like,
Boy
just,
Meets World.
Yeah. I mean, the Boy Meets World one is crazy. I'm friends with the producer now because of that. Mark Blutman. And I also found out, and I told Mick Foley during our Wednesday morning wake-up interview, that his episode of Boy Meets World was the lowest rated episode ever. And I set him up because my setup was that he had one of the highest Raw segments ever with This Is Your Life. And he was all, yeah, I did. And I was like, but your Boy Meets World episode. So, and then he said, oh, well, you know, syndication. He tried to work around it. He was very upset.
You weren't having it. I respect that.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked the tough questions.
That's one thing that I like about your interview style, though, because on your show, it was WrestleMania After Dark, you interviewed Ric Flair. And so these references that you make, so like to these older shows, every time you would make one, it seemed like Ric Flair had a story about meeting that person or going to dinner with them or something like that. And it was just like such a different kind of interview than I've ever seen Flair have.
Rick was one of the only people on the show who I did not really have a relationship with before. He knew me. He knew that I was in like the Arquette doc and he was friends with David and whatever, but I did not know what speed he was at. You know what I mean? Or what mood he was in. If you're not in a good mood, I don't think you'll enjoy being interviewed by me. And then I try to set myself up where like we can't fail. Like failure would be part of the joke. So if I get zero answer on anything, it's still kind of funny. But then Rick was like magic. One of the jokes was, well, what's your relationship with McMahon? And he said, oh, it's great. And I said, Ed McMahon. And he said, I never met Ed. And I said, oh, what about Merv Griffin? And he's like, I met Merv Griffin. I'm like, really? Like, it's all in real time. And I'm like, oh. And then, I don't know if you remember, here's another name for your list. Hervé Villechaize. He was the little person in Fantasy Island. The plane boss, the plane. Oh, that was him.
Tattoo. Oh.
Tattoo. Thank you. Yes. And Rick went out with him one night in Vegas.
Of course he did.
And it's so perfect. And he said there were two lines that night. And I said, well, I guess Hervé's was the shortest in a lot of ways. And
oh,
And then it just, and then we just move on to the next thing, and that's like the best part.
Come on.
And then you know what? I will say it was very sweet. Everyone I asked said yes. And Kevin Owens, I mean, he knows me from Twitter. He loved these cartoons I used to do. And he got on and I said, listen, do you want to know what we're doing or do you just want to do it? And he said, let's just do it. So then I introed the Honky Tonk Man and I went, oh. And he just picked it up. And I'm like, this is so nice. And I would say, as I like to exercise my skills in a variety of ways, I feel like all wrestlers have those skills. And it's so nice to bring it out of them and see them in a different light, yet in an engaging way.
No, I love it. Are you familiar, by the way, with Nardwar?
Oh my, yes. He's a Canadian legend.
Okay, because your style, and not saying it's derivative by any means,
yes,
but it does remind me a bit of Nardwar, which I love. Because for those of you who don't know, he does other stuff, but all I've seen him do is he interviews like some of the biggest names in hip hop. But he has a very unique approach. First of all, I don't know how he gets this information, but he tends to know things about them that you see them visibly, see their minds be blown, because it can be really obscure stuff from like childhood, or he'll usually conclude the interview by presenting them with a vinyl record. And it might be like something that they referenced a decade ago in an interview that their like mom played in the house, something super obscure. But he's very, very white, very nerdy, wears a hat. He seems extremely out of place, but I very much appreciate Nardwar's style. And I
he's a guy, and yeah, similarly, an influence. I used to watch him as a kid, so he's definitely not an influence, but he's a person, and I feel like people see it with me where they go, oh, he does funny interviews. He must be an idiot. And you find out very quickly that I'm not, but I've chosen to be. And that's a very, like, I know the information. I've chosen to ask the worst possible question on purpose.
I'm watching, is it pronounced Nardwar?
N-A-R-D.
W-U-A-R?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nardwar. So I'm watching like his top 20 reactions, and like Pharrell Williams just told him, this is the most impressive interview that I've ever been on.
The man knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of let your guard down and he jumps on it.
Yeah, I definitely see what you mean, E, with the similarities. Because when I see you interviewing people, a lot of times it's like that. Like they always choose to engage because it's you're saying something that they're not used to hearing in an interview before, that they really are interested in a legitimate way. And it makes it so much more refreshing to hear and see stuff like that.
Yet, because when you have to improvise and be funny with people, they have to be really present and really open. So then all of a sudden you may stumble on like a real genuine enlightening answer, which is like even more amazing. Like when I did a Wednesday morning wake up with Kevin Nash, and I said, when you in the NWO, you always seem to be a big tucker. You seem to like to tuck the shirt. Was that a conscious decision? And immediately he said, we were still in a tuck world at the time because you couldn't get to your fanny pack and you couldn't get to your pager. And I'm like, wow, that was like, I came at you with, you know, this is like a total joke and you propped it up where I was like, well done. That is fantastic. Thank you.
I think a lot of it though, too, is that I know I find with like interviews, like, you know, the more that you do, a lot of them tend to be cookie cutter and like the same questions, and it get, not that it's like boring, but you kind of know like how you're going to feel after you leave. It's going to be like, all right, oh, I know this guy knows the product. He doesn't know the product. But when you get asked a question that's like so left field, all of a sudden it's like you're in, you know what I mean? Because we don't get to experience that a lot. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people appreciate that. Just having an interview that's outside the box. It's so rare. It's really so rare.
Yes. I'm not a big box guy. I think we've all, and I've been through many podcasts where it's like, so where did you train? And I'm like, who cares? No, not one person. I don't even care. What difference does it make in the long run? And I know, E, you were talking about your weight. I always used to say that to ring announcers. They used to say, what did you weigh? And I said, do you really care? Does it make a difference in the long run? Oh, this guy's 215. Very impressive. No one. He just.
I like to imagine someone in the crowd is thinking that, oh, he's got 3 pounds on him today. He might have the edge.
Pretty big.
Well, RJ, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for jumping on this call and doing this with us today.
It's been a hoot. It's been a pleasure. And now I feel like I know all of you now, especially Kofi. You've come a long way. We've come from, you know, nothing.
Literally nothing.
I had nothing. People would say, Kofi, and I say, Meh. And now, you know, I sung the man's old theme song. And I don't think you can get closer to a person than that.
Hey, we have made strides. Yeah. I was actually nervous. I'm like, man, I hope I haven't like met him at some point because I really don't remember. And I'm going to have to pretend like I do. But I'm glad.
Nice to see you is the greeting. Yes. It works if you've met them before, if you're meeting them for the first time. Regardless, nice to see you.
Good call. I did joke with our producer, Dan Reichert, that if you ran circles around me with your wit, I did ask if I could bury you. You did run circles around me with your wit, but I will decline on the bury.
Please, no, I want to hear it now. You can't set it up. Do you have notes?
No. I got nothing.
Thank you.
You're real good.
That's sweet of you guys.
You imagine he's got 10 bullet points just in case. If Andre comes in here and makes a fool of me, ooh. Yeah, I'm definitely say that one. I'm going to say that one right there. I'm start with this one. RJ, where can they find you on socials?
Just Google RJ City. That's probably your best bet. Like a bunch of things will come up. You'd be like, some of it you will like, some of it you might not. There's like Don Knotts references and thirst traps. So like pick and choose, you know, Kofi was nice enough to tolerate the thirst traps to get to the other stuff. That's a brave, secure man. And I respect him for it.
Thank you.
So just Google RJ City. Things will happen. There's a YouTube, there's an Instagram, there's a Twitter, so on and so forth. And WWE can check their inbox. There should be about 20 pictures there to go. And now rings.
Yes. Well, again, thank you. And you guys, go ahead, Google RJ City and follow him on all of the social platforms. Get all that good knowledge. And as far as this podcast goes, we know you enjoyed it. So we'll tell your friends to listen to it. And they can listen to it wherever they listen to their podcast. Just go to that search bar and type in The New Day. Click the pink picture with the three black guys' faces in it. That is your boys. And every download counts. Also, check me out on Up, Up, Down, Down. That's the YouTube. And that's at Up, Up, Down, Down without the O's on social media. And check out G4 TV on all social platforms at G4 TV. Go to UDDShop.com for all your Up, Up, Down, Down apparel. Thank you.
And ordinarily, I'd tell you where to find me, but in an effort to make up for the fact that I didn't tell anybody in the locker room about RJ and his Instagram page, I'm going to say go ahead and Google RJ City and follow him and get yourself some laughs. Because like I said, man, you are hilarious. So thank you for being you, man. Thank you for being so funny.
And I look forward to, you can follow Kofi at True Kofi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I remember that. He hasn't followed me on anything yet. So we'll see what changes in the coming weeks.
I haven't. I was hoping we could make it through that without, you know, mentioning that. I got a weird thing with follows where some really close people to me, I don't, it's weird. Don't.
You can just mute me, you know, there's a mute button.
Yeah.
Just say what I said earlier for the brand stuff. It'll.
Yeah, yeah. Just repeat non-apology. Repeat that.
I'm following a lot of people. Yeah. It's a busy timeline.
I am at WWE Biggie on Twitter and on Instagram. Watch Laser Wolf seasons 1 and 2 on HBO Max. So check that out right now. I really much, very much enjoyed doing that show. Also, you can find the Up, it's not on the Up, Up, Down, Down shop. I keep saying that. I should stop at some point. Anyways, find our podcast shirt. It's on WWE shop, but also go to Up, Up, Down, Down shop and buy some things because Wood started that from just like a little seed in his brain. And he made this whole thing that has 2 million plus followers and created jobs and got, you know, just the boys. A little bit closer via video games. It's very, very beautiful. And that's all I got. That's it. So thank you. Thanks for being here, guys.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. And thank you. And thank you, RJ.
Thank you. RJ. But also, you're welcome. There's too much thanking going on. We have to receive something.